Do you have advice that you would give your younger self? I mean, if it's really, if you're really answering this fully honestly, at least in my case, it would be a mountain of advice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much. There's so much.
But you got to choose one. One thing. What is the advice you would give younger you?
How young?
You pick.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be old enough that you would take the advice, maybe.
Yeah. Pick the age, right. And you should pick. I mean, this is up to you. Are you old enough to understand that?
Yeah. Mine would have to be probably, I would think, junior high or high school.
Yeah.
I mean, there's where you're old enough to kind of comprehend some things.
A lot of the advice I would probably give, I probably got and didn't listen because I knew better. Because we all did at that age, right? I mean, you think you're so damn smart.
Sure.
I mean, and that persists so far for every age I've gotten to.
Right. Yeah.
I was so smart, I thought, then.
Yeah, I think my top advice would be never let anyone know you own a pickup.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that one.
Because then you get a lot of those questions that say like, hey,
what are you doing
are you
Saturday?
Free on Saturday around 2? Hey,
can you?
Didn't you get to a point, Hot Wings, where you would start answering that with, I'm not free, but my truck is yes. If you want to trade vehicles.
Yeah.
Because just because I have a truck doesn't mean I want you to help move.
I don't want to go over. Yeah.
Like, I don't have a passion for lifting furniture.
Yeah. Yeah. There have been times where I've had to, like, hey, can you drive to Lansing to pick this up for me?
Sure can't.
I guess. Yeah. Also, I guess my bigger advice is you don't have to do things.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to. It's true.
You know, if it's not something you're comfortable with or whatever, you don't have to do it. You don't have to stick that out, or you don't have to go to that thing, or you don't have to. Do anything.
Let me ask you this, though.
Mine would almost be the opposite.
What is it?
Say yes to more things.
Yeah. I mean, there could be that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
How, Wings, do you then tell your kids that? You don't have to do things if you don't like it?
I will. Yeah.
So, like,
I mean,
if they started a team sport, you'd let them quit in the middle?
No, I always told them ahead of time. I said, look, you know, here's the thing. Like, I'm never going to force you to do anything. I'm not going to make you do stuff. But if you commit to it, now you're part of the team so that you can, as soon as the season is over, you can quit forever. I don't care.
But you got to finish.
But you can't quit in the middle.
I agree.
Unless you're like hurt or there's like a real reason.
Yes. You can't just quit
through.
Because you don't want to do it.
You got to follow through on it. You know, I mean, unless it's like a miserable situation where, well, I go there and everyone beats me up. Okay. Well, then you wouldn't have to do that. But yeah. But otherwise, yeah, I definitely tell them, like, you know, don't do things you're not comfortable with. Or that you don't like to do or whatever, you know. But like to Steve's point, though, I also try to encourage them to try stuff. Just because you think you might not like it isn't the same as not liking it. So give it a whirl.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
Yeah. Kelly, what advice would you give younger you?
Put lotion on every day and stretch every day.
Really?
I swear to God.
Would younger you have listened?
Yeah, I wasn't doing lotion every single day, but I was more active.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got older, I cared more about my skin and got less active. And I wish I would have found a healthier balance.
Sweet spot.
And sports that wouldn't have beat my body up so much, because I feel like tennis really messed with my knees a lot. Because we ran all the time.
Sure. And it's all stopping and starting.
Constant stopping and on the top of your feet and the back of your feet. So now I do yoga and it's a lot more gentle on my body and I'm a lot more flexible. I feel like I'm stronger, and then the lotion every single day is just mainly because it feels really good, and it's good for your skin. Your skin needs something to drink. But mentally—
So you stretch every day?
Every day. Oh, I have a little yoga wheel that I got to get
What's
off of.
What's a yoga wheel?
It's just a wheel. It's like a—have you ever seen those back-cracking wheels that people swear by?
Okay.
That's a yoga wheel. And I lay on that because my family, if you look at everyone, especially on my dad's side of the family, we have what I call hard shoulders. And so they're real easy to get to turn in, and you get like that little shell of a back very, very easily. And I have been working really, really hard to not get that shell too early in life because, man, sitting up straighter and stretching and doing that is only going to help you. That's the one thing my grandma told me. If I could go back and tell my younger self something, it'd be to sit up straight.
Pretty smart.
Because you're in constant pain if your back hurts every single day. And I do not want that.
A lot of people are telling Kelly, preach about stretch. A lot of stretchers in the congregation today.
And it doesn't take much. Just like touch your toes and hold it for 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Stop for 10 seconds. Do that. Just do that.
It's true.
Because that's the one thing I don't want for the rest of my life is pain. If I can avoid it in any way, oof.
This one, stretching for sure, and booze. Would have clockworked orange myself to hate booze. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably a lot of them for folks.
Yeah.
Steve, what about you? Get more Jeeps?
Don't necessarily go to college.
Yeah. Particularly for what we're doing.
Yeah, it's a catch-22, though, because I loved it. I loved my time in college, and it took me going to college to get into what we're doing now.
Yeah.
But I don't need it. I didn't need student loan debt or anything. I don't even need a high school diploma for what we do.
No,
yeah, but
no, you don't. But
like for me, we wouldn't need college for this, but the experience of college is a lot about who I am.
Yeah, I'm looking at it more like strictly, if I'm looking at it strictly financially, then there's no need to do it. But
I mean, same way. I mean, obviously for radio, but if I hadn't gone there, I wouldn't be doing this right now.
Yeah.
I might be doing something, but who knows what I would be doing.
Yeah, but I think a really good piece of advice there, too, is that even if you're not saying, like, don't go to college, like, take the pressure off of feeling like you have to major in something hard if you don't know what you want to do. Like, major in something easy that you can actually enjoy, maybe, or not break your brain trying to, like, be good at it if it's not your thing. Like, I mean, my major was history, which isn't necessarily hard, but it was difficult. It was a lot of writing. I go back and do something that I'm not going to say out loud because I don't want to insult people who had I would consider easy majors, but pick something like that.
Yeah, but 25 years ago, I didn't feel like there was the option when I was in high school.
Yeah.
That was the sense then, though.
Well, you got to go to college.
You kind of went to
college. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Where are you going to go to college? What are you going to major in?
And a lot of people who didn't are like, you know, I'm having a good life, right?
I don't want to go to college.
Yeah. And that weird stigma, too, of going to college because you're older is weird.
Yeah.
Like, that idea, you can go to college anytime if you want to. Why is it weird to go to college when you're older? There are options. I think that's like a good way to put that, too.
Mm-hmm.
There are options.
1-800-947-3979. I think for me, I would do that thing that we heard somebody say a few years ago that really got to me. But if you wouldn't ask for someone's advice, do not care about their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Their criticism. Yeah. Don't take criticism from somebody you wouldn't ask for advice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So criticism from garbage people is just noise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's rat poison.
Yeah. It's rat poison. Yeah. Nick Saban refers to like articles about how great his team is, oh, they're reading the rat poison or whatever. Yeah. Don't go out of your way to eat the rat poison.
Yeah. I feel like I've done a pretty good job with that for the most part. Sometimes people get you for a little too long for a while and it gives you, but I think for the most part, I think I can do that pretty well.
Maitland, do you have anything younger you needs to hear from current you?
Yeah, I got a lot.
You got a lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you and I touched on it before the show yesterday during therapy hour.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of like you're not a bad person if you build the life you want instead of catering it to what everybody else wants for you.
Absolutely.
Or like catering your life to everyone else's convenience. Like that gets you only disappointment because...
Yes. Yeah.
You can't expect you out of everybody else.
Right. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you start looking back and going, I wish I had all this time back.
Yeah. It just hurts your own feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you'll never, because anybody who you're trying to make happy, they'll never be happy anyway.
That is very true.
All you can do is make yourself.
Do you have other ones?
Yeah. Another one. You're not a.
You got a list in front of you, don't
you?
I saw you glance down. Well, give it to us.
Don't we all?
You're not a gifted student. You're just a people pleaser.
Ooh, that's a really good one. I think that's why I thought I was so smart for so long.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I was so smart. We all know that. We've met me. It was because I thought, well, I have to do these. And if I'm going to do it, my family would say things, well, if you're going to do something, do your best. Okay. So I got really good grades.
Mm-hmm. I got great grades in high school, but then once I got to college and there was things that, like, I was behind in science classes because my high school didn't have a super advanced science program. So, like, I didn't know how to work certain pieces of equipment in my labs and things like that because I'd never seen it.
Right.
And I would cry and I felt so stupid, but I was just like, no, like I was just pushed through high school because they were just like, you're so smart. You're so good at this. And I'm like, no, I'm just really good at making you think I am.
Yeah. People pleasers. I mean, that's a.
Like, just please just tell me I'm doing a good job.
Right. It's an anxious lifestyle. Right.
It's such a good thing to learn, though, on how to do it, because you can read certain people a certain way. I don't know if you ever applied it to your teachers, too, where it's like, oh, I know they like this writing style.
Yep.
So I'll write this paper more in tune with what they would like. Yep. And it is, it's people pleasing, but it's
also really
good.
This teacher likes it
really
if I argue
good.
With them.
Yeah, it's, but oh, it's hard to shake it after you start doing it.
One of our boys is pure people pleaser. You can, the moment you meet him, it's pretty obvious. And he's really good at it. But just in the last week or so, he's started talking about feeling anxious and he's young. And I was like, God, I can't believe he's feeling that at that age. But I think, and he said, I don't know what it's called, how I feel, but I think it's related to like the, you know, because the more someone's a people pleaser, Maitland, tell me if this is true. Then you start to hear all this positive feedback of that says, you're so good. Oh, we can always count on you to do the right thing, or we can always count on you to get your work done. And then there's that pressure when you do, like, let them down, which you're not, you're being human, then it feels like complete failure.
Right. Like,
right?
You almost set the bar too high for yourself, and then when you fall short of that, everybody's like, well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And it's like,
Now you feel like you've disappointed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the process, you're disappointed in yourself because you hold yourself to a higher standard than everybody else.
And it's an awful cycle that just never ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one thing that, I mean, I think I'm probably in that people pleaser category.
I think we all are.
Yeah. And my therapist, after a while, would say, do you ever notice how you give other people, you make excuses for other people, and you won't accept legitimate reasons for your own failings?
Yeah.
Why is that? And I'm like, well, I expect more out of me. And he's one day I said that and he said, why? At first I was like, why? What do you mean? Why? Tell me, I can't. And then I went, oh,
I like to accept less from others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
right?
Be really hard on myself,
like,
for not
doing
enough.
Maybe raise their bar and lower yours and meet them somewhere in the middle.
Because you somehow believe that it makes you a better person.
Yeah. Everybody listening right now is, yeah, of course. That's so many. That is,
People pleaser and anxiety. This is a fairly new revelation for me, but they're hand in hand. They're shaking hands, walking down the aisle.
It's one of those where it's almost like you tell your therapist, like, well, geez, you didn't have to hold the mirror directly in front of my face. Thank you.
I just paid for that slap.
It was a good slap. It didn't. I didn't believe it right away. And then over the next few weeks, it's like, oh, this is what little Dr. Know-It-All's saying. Stop telling me things because you are smart and good at your job.
And then your Lexapro kicks in for like 5 minutes and you're like, but you are smart and you are good at your job. Woo!
That's another good one. Yeah. There's no shame in being medicated.
Yeah.
Wow, this one. Holy crap. I didn't know that's what was wrong with me, but Maitland and you guys just totally psychotherapied me over the radio.
You're welcome.
There is
that's not covered by your insurance, by the way. So
no, your copay will be due.
Your bill is gonna suck.
Best advice I'd give 16-year-old me: stay away from that loser in the pool hall. My life would be so much better. I don't know which loser that is, but it does pretty sound advice for anyone.
Well, I mean, if it's somebody in a pool hall,
avoid the loser in the pool hall.
You got a 70% chance you're dealing with a loser.
Should have listened to some more Jim Croce.
Right? Don't mess around. Bad Leroy Brown, man. Yeah. Was that Bad Leroy Brown, or was that the other one?
That's Don't Mess Around
with Jim. Don't mess around with Jim. Yeah. That's
bad,
right.
Bad Leroy Brown, he was the baddest man in the whole damn town.
Yeah.
Was he meaner than any type of dog?
He was badder than a junkyard dog.
What about King Kong? Could he beat him up?
Meaner than him.
Yeah, meaner than old King Kong. Yeah, you better believe it.
This guy sounds like a real badass.
Yeah, he was tough.
Yeah. Croce should probably tell himself to stay off of planes.
He probably should have.
Did he die in a plane crash?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Seems like
yeah.
everyone,
I mean, I got everyone
in that era did.
Yeah. Yep, he did.
That's true. Everybody died of airplanes. Rough. They
oh, no, that's right. One fell out of the sky and hit him.
Yeah, and in it was another rock star.
Yeah, the Big Bopper.
They got
yeah,
two.
It was John Denver.
And Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Total two for one sale. I think, yeah, John Denver's head hit him while he was swimming.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Sharks eating it.